Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 250.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 250. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support as always. Thank you so much for listening. And today is I'm going to be continuing a series on bebop approaches and lines and movements within and around each chord tone. In this podcast, I'm going to be going over dominant seventh chords. If you haven't checked it out, go back and listen to the minor seventh chord one. And I'm going to be doing dominant sevenths now, and then I'm going to be doing major sevenths next week. And then I might get into minor 2-5-1s as well, but we'll see. I might break it up a little bit just to give it some freshness, some newness, a little bit of change, things like that. But wow, this is 250 episodes. That's crazy. I never thought 8 years ago or 7 years ago, I kind of lost count at this point, I would have gotten to 250 episodes. And obviously, we are going to continue. I'm going to continue, my team and I, and we will be getting to 300 episodes. We'll have to plan something fun for that. But thank you so much. Go to jazzpianoschool.com to check out all the amazing education that we have there. If you're looking to join our membership, that's available as well. You get access to our main course curriculum. Specialty courses, mini courses, and essentially everything you could possibly need and want to learn jazz piano. So this is going to be a good episode. Dominant seventh chords have a lot of different approaches you can use. I'm not going to be talking so much about the use of extensions in this. It's more just about the bebop approaches that you can use to target each chord tone, the 1, 3, 5, and 7. Obviously, extensions do come into play, but I'm not really going to be messing around with those. I'm still just honing in on bebop approaches, and this will be with the dominant seventh chord. And now, since we have a major third instead of a minor third, that's going to be the only difference between this episode and the minor seventh, but it's a big difference. It's a very, very big difference, and it's a difference because it dictates the quality of the chord. Major and minor is a huge difference, right? It's the difference between hearing darkness or essentially lighter and brighter happiness and things like that. So a lot of cool things about to come up. Man, there was one thing I wanted to say and I can't really remember, but that is okay. so yeah, we're going to be doing the major sevenths to be released next week. And then I think Sterling's going to do another podcast episode on his own. And let's just go ahead and dive right into it. Here we go. All right. So with dominant seventh chords, obviously we have 1, 3, 5, and 7. Now, there's not going to be much difference between this podcast. I should say there's going to be differences. There are going to be big differences, but the one difference, is going to be the third here is going to be a major third as opposed to a minor third when I did the podcast over a minor seventh chord, right? So the biggest difference, I should say, in the bebop approaches are going to be just around this one note because the other notes are actually going to be the same. The bebop approaches will be very, very similar. And, you know, the seventh is the same, the fifth is the same, the third is different, the one is the same. So I'm still going to go over those again. If you haven't checked out the minor seventh podcast, do that. But the biggest difference is going to be how we connect different chord tones to each other with the use of bebop approaches. And I'll tell you exactly what that means in a second. But let's just refresh the one again. On the one to a dominant seven. And again, these are just the same ones as the minor seventh. We can do chord scale above. We can do chord half step below. We can do a combination of both. Right? Man, the reverb on my on my piano right now is a little much for me. I'm going to try and take that off. There we go. Right, so if I were to create a line like this, so I did a little roll in there, just a little flavor, a little texture. So I'm doing chord scale above, half step below to the one, and then just outlining some chord tones up to the nine. But again, the main thing I'm emphasizing right now and teaching on is essentially targeting this one. Now I'm going chord scale above, half step below. We can also do the opposite way. Right? Now, as you'll notice, with a lot of the lines, they can be flipped and flopped both ways, meaning I can change the direction of my chord tone approach. And if I do a line like this, I can also change the direction of my line, meaning if I do a chord scale above and then half step below, I can come down now instead of having my line, my bebop line, go up, right? And then I could flip-flop that. So I could do half step below, chord scale above, and now I can come down. Right? So, and again, the point of this bebop approach, I mean, if you land on this, that's okay. You know, a lot of people might say like, oh, it's going to clash with the seven. It will a little bit, but that's not really, it's about the tension and release. So you have a little bit of tension and release, and then you walk down your bebop scale. And when you do it kind of in a smooth manner, no one would even be able to tell the difference, right? The other ones that we can start to do is the chromatic down, right? So I could go. Right? I can just walk up the scale. I can keep going up. It's up to you. It's completely up to you how you move around from there. Right? So this is, and again, if I move this up an octave, I can come down and then keep coming down. See how that works? And you have a nice, smooth, chromatic transition between your bebop scale, which is a passing tone between the flat 7 and the 1, and the approach you just used, this chromatic approach down to the 1, falling into the 1. Right? Or you can use it here, going up. Okay? You could also use a chromatic approach into the 1. And essentially, this is just the use of a bebop scale. Now, I know I'm not really talking about the bebop scale much, but a bebop scale is any Mixolydian scale with a passing tone in between the 7, the flat 7, and the 1. And this allows for chord tones to fall on downbeats as you continue to move up the scale. Right? Otherwise, your chord tones would start falling on upbeats. And that's going to change the sound of bebop, right? It's going to make it sound a little strange. When your chord tones are falling on downbeats, they don't always have to fall on downbeats. When they are, it's going to really allow that bebop sound to come out. Okay, so you could essentially start a line like this. So essentially, all I'm doing is starting on the 7, the chord tone here, and moving up the scale. But this can be thought of as an approach, a chromatic approach, into the 1. Now, as we start to get a little bit more advanced, right, I talked about these in the minor 7th, 1 as well. And again, this can lead into all sorts of things from here on out. Right? I can also come down. Right? So I'm doing a double chromatic, essentially. Chromatic, chromatic, into the 1. Right? Now we can start to, I didn't really talk about this much in the minor 7th podcast, but once we start to add trills and ornamental expressions into our bebop approach, it gets really fancy and complicated, and it actually sounds great, but it is complicated in advance. So instead of just doing this, I didn't actually talk about that one just yet, but this is another one you could do, chromatic to half step below to the 1. Right, so instead of this, maybe that's your line, I could spice up the bebop approach with a 16th note trill, or ornament as I like to call them, and I would do this. You'll hear a lot of that. Clifford Brown does this. A lot of bebop players will spice up their bebop approaches. right? And again, you can use that in lots of different ways. I mean, it can happen. You can trill and add that ornament in a lot of different ways, and I'll get more into that. I could do that. That's the one. That's the one. That's the other more advanced one. And then adding the trill would sound like that. So here's without the trill. Right? Here's with the trill. Right? It's just a little bit of flavor. It's a little bit of spice in addition to your bebop approach, okay? So that's going to be the one. Explore those, right? Work with those around the one. Again, very similar to the ones in the minor seventh. But now we get to the third. This is going to be very important for your dominant seventh approach, because when you're coming from a minor chord, like a G minor seven and a 2-5-1, here's your 2-5-1. When you get to that dominant chord, you really want to express that new tone, that new note, right? You hear how landing on that third of that chord tone is a big difference, right? Because check it out. The other chord tones, the G is already a part of the last chord, the B flat is already a part of the last chord, and the C isn't really a chord tone of our G minor 7. It's more like 11th. So it's not really an anchor note, right? So the only chord tone that really makes a huge and significant difference in that harmonic change is going to be that third. So that's why it sounds so good to target that third when you land on a dominant seventh chord, right? Just kind of a simple trick or hack, right, to make your line sound a little bit better is target those thirds moving from your minor seventh to your dominant seventh, okay? So here are some of the approaches we can use for the third in a dominant seventh chord. Obviously, we can use half step below. We can always use half step below. That's just a more advanced, you know, I'm going to get into that in a second. But anyway, that half step below is a great approach. I love this. I love using this approach, right? You can keep going up. So anyway, that half step approach is really an awesome one to use. Don't kind of think it's too simple because it's just one half step below approach. Some of the most simple bebop approaches really make for an effective sound, right? And just coming down. Half step below. We'll get into that in a second. So anyway, this half step below, there is an ornament I added to my bebop scale there. Right, so those ornaments really fancy things up. I call them elegant. It really adds elegance, style, technique, dexterity, professionalism, right? It's like wearing a suit and tie for the bebop. It's like the bebop approach note is kind of like a casual, it still sounds good, but when you add these ornaments in, it's like, wow, that's professional, right? That's suit and tie stuff right there. Okay, so really, really cool stuff with that half step below. Obviously, we have the chord scale above. Now, a lot of people, they would overlook just the use of the chord scale above leading into that third. But it's such a great thing to start your lines with. Just start your line with a chord scale above. Right? It's such a cool way to start it, and it sounds great. Just that little brief moment of tension and release. Da, 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 da. Right? Such a great thing. Now, obviously, we can combine those. Whatever it is, but you can combine it. You can do, or you can do the other way around. Again, all these can be flip-flop. They're like little Lego building blocks. You can swap them. You can build in different directions. It's like a chutes and ladders, right? Which direction do you want to use? After you land on the chord tone, which direction do you want to go, right? So if I go up here, now I have the option to go up or down, right? If I go down, I still have the option to go up or down from here in my bebop line, right? Okay. Now, as we start to get into more advanced lines, bebop approaches around the third here. Sorry, I should have gone a little simpler. Okay, that's still kind of a surrounding motion, right? Obviously, we just have a double chromatic here we could do. Right? So this double chromatic is a really cool one to use. Now, the one I've been saving for last, which you're going to hear all the time, is the chord scale above in combination with the one I just showed you, excuse me, with the double chromatic here. Right? You're going to hear this all the time. I would argue it's the most important bebop approach you could learn over the third for your dominant seventh chords, all right? You're going to hear this all the time, right? So this, really, really important. I would say to learn that first, obviously start to practice with the half step below, start to practice with the chord scale above, practice with the double chromatic, right? And then obviously the one I just showed you, very, very important, chord scale above, chord scale below, right? You can refer to this as kind of a double chromatic. I like to call this chord scale below just because it fits with the system more. Chord scale above, chord scale below, half step below into your chord tone. And from here again, your options are limitless as far as what kind of line you want to do. If you want to move up your Mixolydian scale, add some more bebop approaches. We'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, the rest of these are going to be very similar, almost identical, practically identical. Yes, they are identical. It took me a while to get there. But the fifth, okay, it's going to sound different because before in the other episode, I was playing a minor seventh in my left hand. And the rest of my lines consisted of the minor third in them. And it sounds different. Even though the bebop approaches are the same, it's going to sound different. See, now it sounds different with the use of the bebop approaches that I've already taught you. So definitely go back and listen to that, but I'll just go over them quickly to refresh. Obviously, we have the half step below. Woo, love that. Right? There is your common, most popular bebop approach I was just talking about. So I can start my line with a half step below and use that very popular approach to target the third again as I come up. But again, this half step below sounds fantastic. The chord scale above, it's a little more neutral. We don't get that tension from the sharp 11. It's just a regular natural 6 or 13. So there's not much tension. I really don't use the half step above much, but it is an option, like a flat 13 sound. I like it more in combination with the 13, right? Right? Then we get into some of these double chromatic or the combinations. Right? So chord scale below, half step below, chord scale above, half step above. Finally, we land into that target chord tone. So we have essentially, you know, two bebop approaches combined together. Here's one, here's the second one. Finally, we land on our chord tone, and we can move up and down the bebop scale or add more bebop approaches into our line. Right? So it doesn't really take much to put these together. And after you use the first bebop approach, as you can see, if I just move up and down my bebop scale, and this is the reason bebop scales are important to learn. A lot of people just think it's just a scale, right? But with the tension from some of these more advanced bebop approaches, you don't need much after using them. Right? You can just move up and down the scale and it sounds great. Sounds really good until you need to resolve to your one chord, right? So I could do. And then I add another bebop approach to finally create the resolution into my one chord. But in between, in the middle of your bebop line, you don't really need much. There's a great course if you're a JPS member listening out there. Go to your mini courses section. Check out the bebop equation. And it's about combining bebop approaches. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a second. But combining bebop approaches to create some of these lines, to actually create bebop lines. Like, what's the systematic process for that? Anyway, that's going to be the fifth. Really cool. We get a combination of this 13 extension, sharp 11 extension. I didn't really talk much about this, but you can obviously use a simple combination of just chord scale above, half step below, into the five. You can also do any of these, chord scale above, or below, excuse me, half step below, chord scale above. Right? So many different movements with the use and combinations of all of these. The flat seven is going to be, again, very similar. We can lead in with that chromatic, double chromatic, essentially, using from the root down into the seven. The half step below is really, really great. Let me do it down here. Right? Now, just a pointer. When you're using your bebop scale to move up from here, if you start on the 13, 1 and 2, you're not going to use the passing tone because otherwise the chord tones will be on different upbeats. 1 and 2 and 3. You see that? So now my non-chord tones are on the downbeats. My chord tones are on upbeats. We don't want that. So we'll pass the passing tone. We'll not use the passing tone if I start my scale on the 13. When I get to the third, I'll have landed on a chord tone. Now I can continue my scale as is, as written. See that? Okay, but again, you can use combinations around what I'm just teaching you, around the seven. Another very, very advanced one that I probably shouldn't be showing you, but starting on the fifth, going to this, right? Half step, this isn't even chord scale below. This is essentially just whole step below, right? And then into half step below, chord scale above, half step above, half step below. Very advanced. Obviously, you can take these and combine them in as many different ways. And again, this is how a lot of great rhythmic players got rhythm out of their bebop approaches. Oscar Peterson loved to use this approach, and he would get an amazing drum feel, drum rhythmic figure, which gives a lot of pop and flair into his lines, right? Right, this is around the five. Right? Here's a line, right? Using half step below into the seven. Okay, so you can get really, really advanced. The last thing I want to talk about is just the combination of bebop chord tones and what we've been working on. In your dominant seven, it's more apparent and actually works better to use different combinations of bebop approaches. And as you can see, I've been using and ending or adding them in the middle of the line. So for example, so if that's a bebop essentially line that you've created, let's check it out. Let's analyze this, right? We have a half step below into the seven. We have another approach happening over here, right? That's going to be, so it's essentially leading up into the sharp 11,
But again, this, that's an approach in itself. So essentially, we have an approach here, we have an approach here. We have one note in the middle. That's the, essentially the connecting note to our two approaches. We have an approach, we have one note, we have another approach to the fifth. Then we have another approach into the third. And this, my friends, is how bebop is created and why it sounds the way that it does. Because we have all these tensions and release, but at the core of it are chord tones. Always at the core of bebop is chord tones. We have our 7, we have our 5, and we have our 3. Those are the 3 targeted chord tones that are going to be utilized and targeted with the use of these bebop approaches. The first bebop approach here is going to be the half step below into the 7. We have one note that connects them, this D. We move into our second approach, which is a double chromatic. Almost a triple chromatic because we're going down to this half step below, leading into the 5. And then finally, to end the resolution or resolve it to the 3rd, we have another bebop approach, which is chord scale above, chord scale below, half step below into the 3rd, right? Now from this point on, we have just a little bit of time rhythmically to resolve to our next chord tone in our F major 7. That's getting into more about how to move through harmonies. I'll probably do that in a future podcast after I've gone through the minor, dominant, and major chords. But work on each of these chord tones individually, because the combination of the different bebop approaches, as you can see, is what really starts to elevate your playing and create bebop lines. If I were to start a line with a bebop approach that I've talked about today, right, that could be a line. So I combined my half step below and then some bebop approach up here, right? I could do, here's a bebop approach here, here's a bebop approach here. Half step below, approach. I could do approach, 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 approach. That's essentially just two approaches back to back, stacked. I want you to think about these like Lego building blocks, right? So these are like Legos that you just build bebop lines with by placing one Lego here. This bebop is one Lego. Your next Lego is this bebop approach. And then you could add another Lego, right? You could do, so you have 3 bebop Lego building blocks you stack together to systematically create a bebop line. It's not experimental, right? You're systematically creating these lines. You're not just experimenting and seeing what comes out. You're just not making it up on the spot. This is literally placing different building blocks of bebop approaches in line. We could also switch it up, right? We could do, let me see. That's essentially 3 different bebop approaches as well. I just switched it up. Right? You could do, again, so you're starting to see how, like, if you learn each and every individual bebop approach, you can start to place them. You can start to build bebop lines literally by placing each one in front of the other and creating these longer lines. Now, connecting them through the harmonic progression, like 5-to-1s, 2-5-1s, that's a different ball game. 1-4-3-6-2-5-1, right? But this is where you got to start. And again, if you're not at this point, you need to learn your chord tones. This is why I emphasize so heavily that you need to be able to solo with your chord tones before you get to any of this. You also need to be able to connect your chord tones with just the scalar motion or the glue notes, right? So if you have 4 chord tones, your first step is to be able to improvise with all 4 chord tones. Your second step is to be able to connect the chord tones with your glue notes, meaning the notes in between your chord tones. In all chords, you have notes in between your chord tones, right? So what notes are in between my chord tones within the key, A, C, and E? That allows them to connect together. So your second step is to be able to improvise by adding the glue notes. And the third step is to start incorporating your bebop approaches so that it's not all scalar motion. Because otherwise, if you're stuck at step 2, your lines are going to sound like this. Just all up and down, right? When we start to add bebop approaches into it, you get tension and release. You get these zigzagging movements, which creates the sound of bebop. So instead of this, right, which is a more beginnerish sound, you get stuff like this. You know, whatever it is. You get weaves in and out of tension and release, tension and release. And again, all I did there was I combined different bebop approaches around different chord tones like I've just explained to you today, okay? Go to jazzpianoschool.com for all of our free education, all of our podcasts, all of our blog posts, all of our lick of the weeks. And if you're looking for more help from me and my staff, you can join our amazing membership with an amazing growing community at jazzpianoschool.com as well. I'll see you in the next episode. Have a great day and happy practicing.